Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr, and this is Issues Christian Men's Talk. Glad to welcome you back tonight. Amen, amen. We thank you for joining us here. We're here locally in the Baltimore, Maryland, D.C. area. Today is May the 25th, Thursday, May the 25th, and we thank you for joining us. Amen. Again, we're Issues Christian Men's Talk. We're here every Monday night at 8 p.m., every Thursday at 8:30 p.m., and we talk about the issues that issues and solutions in the Christian man's life and men in general. And just want to share some information and words of encouragement. Well, tonight we have a special guest coming back. We have Minister Brian Borley, a wellness minister at New Vision for Life Kingdom Builders. We're going to talk about some sexual and health problems. So I've got some folk attention. We put it on Facebook, and we got a couple brothers. Seem like they're going to be listening in, coming to join us and listen in tonight. So if you're listening, if you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/ Deacon Thomas Farr, you can always call in also and ask questions or share your insights at 646-668-2636 and press 1 on your keypad and we can bring you into the conversation. Amen? Amen. We're going to start with scripture and prayer and then we're going to go right into our conversation. We have a couple of announcements. We have some upcoming men's events coming up in this month. We're here in the second half of the year. Father's Day is coming. Men's events is popping up. The brothers are putting together some things to come and minister to the men and encourage them and set their tone and set their vision for the rest of the year. So we're going to touch on those and share those tonight. And also you can find all these announcements online on our Facebook page online at Issues Christian Men's Talk. Also, we are Twitter at Issues Men's Talk on Twitter. You can follow us there. We'll also be sharing those announcements, devotionals, and upcoming men's events there. You can connect with us in all those ways. Amen? Amen. Well, tonight I'm going to be reading from Scripture. I'm going to be reading from Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 22, and I'm going to read it verse number 4. And the word of God says, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Father, we thank you today, Lord God. We thank you for the power of your Holy Spirit, oh God. We thank you for humbleness, oh God, for being humble, God. Where humbleness and meekness is, knowing that the power that we have within us, but under control, to do your kingdom, to do the work of your kingdom, to fulfill the purpose and plan that you created us for, and through God, to be able to speak into the lives of people. So, God, we say thank you today, God. Continue to bless us. Continue to watch over us, oh God. Father God, we ask that you touch those families of the men that are listening tonight, their bloodlines, their children, their wives, oh God, that they might be blessed. And, God, let tonight something be said that will encourage your brother, that would seek to heal him, that will give him some wisdom, some guidance and direction that he make better choices in his life. Continue to strengthen us and keep us, in your will. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. Amen. Well, tonight we have, like I said, we have a couple of announcements before we come and for our guests to come and join us. Amen. We have a couple of brothers online again. We thank you for calling and listening to us tonight. First one is Winning Souls Evangelistic Church Helpful Hands Food Pantry, and they're open every second and fourth Saturday at 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Or you're here locally in the Pasadena, Maryland area at 2322 Mountain Road, Pasadena, Maryland, 21122. You can reach the church by calling 410-437-0137. And we encourage you to share that information with folk. You never know who in your family, in your community, they need some help with food. They have meat, they have canned goods, they have all the things you need, that no one has to go hungry here in Maryland. And this is just one of the places. If you go there, and they can also give you a list of other pantries in the area, maybe closer to your home. But again, if you give them a call, they'll reach out to you and get shared information. Because no one, no child, no family should go hungry. Amen. Our next event coming up is on Saturday, June the 10th. We encourage the brothers who are listening. Saturday, June the 10th, put on your calendar, save that. Saturday, June the 10th, the Howard County Coalition to End Intimate Partner Violence as the Intimate Partner 2007 Dialogue Series. And on this week, this month, in the month Saturday the 10th, we'll be talking about the role of men in preventing relationship violence. And I encourage you, I'll be there. I know some other brothers are invited. And for those in the body of Christ, domestic violence, intimate partner violence, violence against children, violence against the elderly. These are the things where we as men of God can make a difference, can make a change. From reporting to intervening, to play a safe place, to be able to help and support the victims and even the victimizers. Because again, you know, for people get violent out of emotions, out of stuff that's going on, and they strike out. It's fear, it's frustration. But what can men do to prevent it? And this is one of the issues that we must be proactive. And we're talking in domestically, within the home. It is. I know there's violence in our streets, in our neighborhoods, in our communities, but what about the violence where a lot of that violence started in the home? We hear about estranged couples going through, and it turns out to be violence in the street. We hear the news. But there was someone in their community, in their family, that knew that couple was having a problem. And what did they do? What did the fathers, the sons, the uncles, the men in the church, the men in the community do to help resolve it? Or did we just sit around and talk about them and mock them, or it's not our business? Amen? But anyway, that's on Saturday, June the 10th. We're going to talk about this issue. We're going to talk about resources, things we can do as community, as part of the community, as leaders in the community, as men of God. And it's going to be held at the Baltimore, Washington Conference Center for the United Methodist Church at 11711 East Marketplace in Fulton, Maryland. You can call 410-997-0304 and register. It's free registration. It's a free event. We're going to have continental breakfast, and lunch is going to be provided, and it's a free event. And continuing education credits are available through Hope Works, Howard County Domestic Violence. The county office for domestic violence is Hope Works there in Howard County, and they're one of the sponsors. So again, this on Saturday, June the 10th, the role of men in preventing relationship violence. Now you go on our Christian Men's Talk Facebook page, and you'll see the connection link there to register. You can register online. The eBright link is there. It's all there. And any details, you can reach out and we can get you more information. Amen? Amen. Our next one is going to be on Saturday. Well, it's Saturday, in June. It's going to be the Kingdom Worship Center at 6419 York Road in Baltimore, Maryland. It's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Transfers for Men, a citywide holistic transformation for men. It's hosted by Bishop Greg Dennis, and we're going to have Friday night barbershop talk at 7 p.m. On Saturday, we're going to have a men's resource cookout out in Chappaquiddick Park in Baltimore. I guess I pronounced that right, but again, the flyer is out there on our Facebook page. You can go there and see the flyer right now. And also on that Sunday, which is Father's Day, June the 18th at 11 a.m., the Kingdom Worship Center is going to have their Father's Day celebration. But we encourage you to come out and fellowship with the brothers. I'm looking at my calendar. I'm definitely going to try and be here. Well, I'm going to be there. I know I am. So we can come there and fellowship and come together. Speak about some issues there, and hopefully I'm going to reach out to the church there and bring some of those members on here, and they can talk a little bit about the event and share exactly what issues and topics they're going to be talking on. Again, that's on June the 16th, June the 17th, and June the 18th, 2017. Transformation of Men at the Kingdom Worship Center, 6419 York Road in Baltimore, Maryland. The church phone number is 410-377-3500. Amen? Amen. All right. Well, tonight, our topic tonight is we got Minister Brian here. He's going to be sharing some insights, some health issues. There's 14 secrets to a good erection, but we're going to start with just seven of them tonight so we can get into some detail. And then part two, we're going to bring it down the road. Part two, but we're going to start with seven. So we're going to have seven of the 14 secrets of a good erection. Brother Minister, can you hear me? Hold on, we got a little technical thing here. Minister Brian, can you hear me now?
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. I hear you now, loud and clear. Here we go. How are you, sir?
Great. Good evening. How are you?
Good, good. Again, brother, I thank you. You know, when we talked about this was the last week, and then you sent me these topics. I said, okay, we in. Let's go. These are the things that we need to talk about as Christian men and men in general, because our health is one of those things that for some reason as men, I don't know what it is. Some of us let it go. Some of us don't think about it. Some of us haven't had physicals in 15 years, and we wonder why stuff sneaks up on us, and then we're shocked and amazed. We get to a certain age and stuff is not working like it used to. So I thank you for this, bro. You even help me out sometimes because I don't be thinking about these topics. But I said, hey, that brother, you hit on something. I said, we're going in. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Well, first of all, introduce yourself to the audience. Tell them who you are and your ministry and the things you're doing in the community.
Name is Minister Brian Bordley, representing New Vision for Life. Kingdom Builders underneath of Bishop Etta Banks out in Woodlawn. I also represent BPM, Black Professional Men, the Wellness Committee Chairman, and I also have my own separate company called TB7 Wellness Coach Services. Amen.
Amen, amen. All right. Well, tonight, we're talking about erection. We're talking about health issues. So and I have all the brothers' attentions out there because at a certain age, well, let me say this. For all you brothers out there 35 and below, you may not think it's going to do with you, but trust me, if you live another 50 years, at some point, you're going to see the effects because you're not going to be you're not going to be as vital as you used to be. You're going to notice some things, some changes. You're going to prepare yourself to deal with them. And also, some of it is health. You know, some of these things, even at a young age, if you live in an unhealthy lifestyle, doing a lot of the things you shouldn't be doing, you know, it's going to affect how you perform and how you feel about yourself. So, bro, I'll let you start it off.
Well, I wanted to start off with a scripture, which was Genesis 18:11, and it says Abraham was already very old, and Sarah was past the age of childbearing. And I bring that scripture to light because as we read Abraham's journey, we understand that Abraham was supposed to be not fertile at that time of his life to produce a seed. But God got behind him and gave him the virile strength that he needed to produce a child. Amen.
Amen, sir. Amen. That's it. That's in the scripture. It's 75. You know, some of us look down the road, we don't think we want to have children at 75, but God's had a plan for something else. So go ahead with the first one we're going to talk about today. How does age affect erections, both physically and psychologically? How does age really affect
it? Well, age does a lot of different things to us. We found out that under 50, an erection is more psychological, and over 50, an erection is more physical, is what we found out how it plays with age.
Amen.
Now,
so go ahead.
Okay. So what that means is when you're in your 30s and 40s, which we thought were our prime years of men, you're actually at a very early stage of your sexuality. And a lot of times what we find out is that men can't deliver either because of anatomically not built correctly or there's a lot of stress on their shoulders. But when it's 50 plus, it's normally obesity, diabetes, heart issues.
Amen, amen. So one of the things when we talk about that, because you're right, because as we get older and we think about, you know, the physical thing, I know the brothers out there know, you get your checkups, your blood sugars, your blood pressures is high. You know, you're dealing with a lot of other medical issues that start to affect how you perform sexually. And again, as we know, as young brothers, if we all remember when we was young, it wouldn't take anything for us to be in a situation when we was ready. But as we get older and as we mature, other things weigh upon us and weigh upon our heads, all the way from having a child, getting a woman pregnant, or even, you know, cause taking on that responsibility, even that can affect how we think when we talk about the psychological part. But let me say, I'm going to open up too, because, you know, as men of God, we have to do say this. There's other things that we have to look at too. You have to talk about abstinence. We have to talk about celibacy as for the single Christian man. And then again, for those out there, we always have to talk about safe sex. These are all choices, okay, because every man, every person is responsible for the choices they make. But there's some things we need to have wisdom about. You know, if you're making that choice, there's still not a reason to die from the choices you're making. And when we talk about safe sex, I mean, I'm not gonna dwell on it, but we all understand if you're gonna do what you're gonna do, do it in a way where you're not gonna die. It's as simple as that.
Amen.
What do you say, sir?
I agree. We've learned that abstinence is the moment or the transition of not having a partner. Celibacy is actually making a godly commitment with God that says, I'm just going to refrain. So a lot of people don't understand the difference.
Mm-hmm. Amen, amen. Thank you for that, brother, because that's why we're here. Because that's one of the things, too, because when we use words, we have to really put definitions to them. We can't assume folks. We all get the same meaning out of words. And when you talk about the abstinence and being, you know, saving yourself as a single, as an unmarried brother. Now, it's not something that's taught, not even in the church. It's preached from the pulpits, but then it's not taught application. And that's one of the things why we here at Issues Christian Ministry have a passion for men's ministry. Because when we take this opportunity to talk to these young brothers, or even brothers who may have become single for a lot of different other reasons, there has to be some kind of mentoring or discipling to help a brother through that. Because if you came from active sex life and now you're trying to live a life obedient to God and abstinent, we have to be able to help a mentor and coach a brother through that process. Because, again, we are men of our physical, our eyes, our ears, the things that stimulate and turn us on are still working, but then we have to fight the urges to do those things. Because it is an old saying, you know, it just don't happen. There's a whole process, and there's a whole thing that as men we go on, let me say it this way, we go into pursuit mode. And what we have to do is keep ourselves out of pursuit mode, because once we get into pursuit mode, the end is already in place, because you got your mindset, you got everything in place, because you're in pursuit mode. And I'm thinking the thing is, we as men of God, we have to give brothers strategies on how to stay out of pursuit mode. I'll use that term because we may have mixed company on the line right now. What do you say, brother?
I do agree. It wasn't taught to me when I came off the streets into church. it was something that God kind of just set me aside and just removed all of my possible individuals that I might have been intimate with, and that just placed me at an abstinent place. And as a man, it's extremely hard to stay focused when there's so much distraction around you, you know, so much pressure, so many times that you just want female companionship, but you just know it's not at the right place nor the right time.
Yes, sir. That's it. You know, we you know, to be honest, when we talk about female friends and being in those, and that's how things escalate. And even in enemy, and sometimes the enemy uses those friendships and those things, because the closer we get to female friends, to be honest, the closer we get to them and become emotional support for them, that sometimes that's a trick of the enemy, because it takes it to the next level. And that's
correct.
Again, when we get it, when we switch modes, and now we're fighting our natural urges, we're fighting hormones, we're fighting all kinds of stuff. And now that's where we lose, because, you know, and it, well, we lose, and the challenge becomes greater and greater. But the trick is not to put ourselves in that place. And one of the things that we talk about in men's groups is about our female friends, the women that we have around us. Who are these women? Who are they really? You know what I mean? And
right.
we have to have the wisdom and judge. And then again, we have to have people in our life who may see something. You know, I don't want to say mothers of the church, but other women who can speak into your life, who will see other things in other women and can ward us off. It could be your mother. It could be your pastor, your female, other female elder in your church, or someone who's looking out for you to help keep you in that place. Because we're all tempted.
Yeah.
And we look around, unfortunately, if we look around the body of Christ, there's stories and innuendo and stuff all around. But, as we always say in our men's events, is we are responsible for ourselves. We're not responsible for anyone else. Are we willing to do what it takes to be and live in obedience to God and what God wants for our lives?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, the next point I want to touch on, is well, I have someone on the line. We're going to bring them in a minute. So hold on there, brother. I see you. The next one is, what areas affect the lack of sexual drive in men? Because, you know, we think, you know, again, for my 20, 30-year-olds out there, you think nothing. You think you're unstoppable, indestructible right now. That's fine. Even for some of them 16, 17-year-olds. Yeah, I know you think you're indestructible right now. But there's some things that really come into play as the longer we live that affect our lack of sexual desire in men. What do you say, sir?
I agree. Once we start getting that older age, that 40-plus, you become at the middle ground area, because most men's expectancy life is 80. That wasn't what's supposed to be. So by 40, you're getting your full man strength, and technically when we read the Bible, we are learning that your full man strength was supposed to come in your 70. So we're 30 years short. Part of that is because of our diet, pollutions, health, the amount of stress that we are undertaking, and we don't know how to compartmentalize it or how to adapt to it. And then the diseases start popping up. If you've been very promiscuous during your younger years and you weren't safe, HIV, syphilis, chlamydia, trichinomas, all of those diseases will wreak havoc down the road on your level of sexuality. And it's unfortunate, because there's things that you could have done that would have protected your virile part of your body for a very long time. Your body was meant to function until death. But unfortunately, we don't take care of our bodies as men anymore. So once the high blood pressure kicks in, then we have some other issues. And the funny thing of correlation that I got out of one of my reference books, the moment you start having lack of erection, that's the moment you're having a precursor to what's about to come in your heart 3 years down the road. They're saying that the moment you cannot get it up, the cavernous bodies that are inside of your penis, you have two hollow areas on both sides of the shaft of your penis, and they fill up with blood. We understand that that gives you an erection. But because those vessels are so small, those are the first ones to get clogged up. Next comes your heart and all the arteries going to your heart. So it's one of those telltale signs that you haven't taken care of your body, your diet is bad, too much fat and cholesterol in your arteries, and now you're at a place that you can't get an erection, depression sets in, you can't satisfy your mate, and we've all been at some sort of place in time where you start feeling less than a man. So I'm just trying to teach my brothers, take better care of your health, eat a better diet, improve more fruit in your diet. You don't need Viagra. You don't need Cialis. But if you can't see your man because your stomach extends that far out, then the issue is not your man. The issue is your stomach, and it's too much fat in your body. It's too much weight, too much bad diet. And the moment we clean that up, he'll start working again.
Amen. Well, bro, that makes it plain. You know, if your belly, really, all right, here we go, brothers, here we go. If you can't, if your belly is blocking your manhood, do something different. Simple as that. I mean, we say that, I don't want to take the edge off, but it's a health thing. We have to be carrying too much weight, like the brother said, our heart's condition. You know, it's blood. It's all about blood, you know, and if our blood, if our circulation is not good, it's going to happen. And if it happens to you and then it starts to affect, because understand, our sexuality and our relationships, it can start to happen. How would you know, how do we respond? And that brings other issues into relationships because you're frustrated, you're not performing, you couldn't perform, when you talk about childbearing ages and all this stuff starts to now, it all starts to accumulate and puts pressure on you, on your emotions, on your mate's emotions, and on the relationship. But again, you know, like the brother said, we're going to get into the pill later, probably in the next, in part two. But, you know, all these pills are made for everyone. You know what I'm saying? The pills were developed for, first of all, they found that, first of all, I read this, that, you know, the fact that they helped men with erections was a side effect of what the pills are actually designed for. So that's one thing we have to look at, because I believe that, if I believe right, those pills were for either congestional heart disease or blood pressure. And the side effect in men was spontaneous erections and long-lasting erections. But I had to check my books on that, but I remember that article about that, when how these drugs were developed. Amen? Amen. Yeah. You're listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farley here at Minister Brian Boitley. And we're talking about erections. We're talking about those things that can help you in how to, seven of the 14 secrets to a good erection. And this is going to be part one, and we're definitely only going to continue. We're going to touch on this because it's more than sex. It's more than lust. It's more than desire. It's about our health. And we use this as one of the signs. Like the brother said, you have a problem early, you're going to have heart problems down the road. And, you know, erection will be the least of your concerns and worries. Amen? Amen. Well, brother, I got one brother, and I'm going to bring him in. You know, I have a question or I'm going to make a comment. Praise the Lord. Your last number is 6367. How are you, sir?
Hey, dear Father, this is Pastor Watson calling from the airport.
Amen.
I just listened to the conversation, and just wanted to say how I'm glad I was to hear you guys talking about this and this particular topic, because it's a topic that men shy away from. We don't want to start talking about the things that keep us from being virile, or the fact that we've lost our virility. We'd rather hide it and, you know, put up a false bravado and tell stories about how we've conquered and not haven't done and haven't made those conquests. So it leads to not only that, but it's not only the problems with our sexuality, but also a spirit of deception in our lives that leads and opens the doors for other things. The comment that I wanted to make while you were talking and while the minister was talking was you were talking about how to abstain from things and how to stop doing those things. And the thing that I wanted to comment on was that you have to figure out what your trigger is. Like with any other addiction or with any other thing that goes on, there are triggers that cause you to want or desire a certain thing. For many of us, it's that second look. You can look at a woman one time, but it's that second look that triggers the lust or the desire to have that woman. It's the trigger of a commercial that you're not supposed to see. It's the trigger of an ad that you see on television for Victoria's Secret or anything like that. Those are the things that trigger us. And once we know what those triggers are, then we have to learn that we need to avoid our triggers. We need to avoid putting ourselves in situations where our ego is stronger than our bravado, and we need to learn that we need to. That's why they have situations where you're not supposed to be dating by yourself. You're supposed to be in a group of people when you're dating, so that if you don't put yourself in certain situations, you don't depend on thinking that you're stronger than you are. So I just wanted to make that comment. Also, I appreciate the comment that you made about your health. It definitely helped. I'm in a situation now where I'm dealing with the same thing, too much fat around the middle, too much salty food and having to change your diet, and then your blood pressure goes up, and then you're having issues. So I am just in agreement with what you said, and I just wanted to make that comment. Again, I'm calling from the airport, so I might have to jump off at any time, but I wanted to put that in. Brother, I thank you so much for having this call. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Amen, brother. Amen. And brother, you can listen to the rest of the show after you get off the plane, man. Going to the website and sharing some things. And again, we're gonna be doing a part two. So we're gonna keep this. We're gonna continue and go through this because, like you said, there's a lot of things. Yeah, this is ministry, and this is what we have to talk about as men, because these are the things, like you say, there's triggers for everything. And when this happens, we can lose our focus on God's purpose for our life. We can lose the focus of our marriage. We can lose focus on a lot of things because these are the subconscious, the secrets that we keep and we struggle with, and then it hinders God's using us because we don't seek the wisdom and understanding to find the cure, to see what it is, and then deal with it to make it better. Amen? Amen. You listen to Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farley here with Pastor Minister Brian Ball. Excuse me, I keep messing your name, my brother. Brian Bordley, Minister of Wellness. Amen. So let me ask you this: how important is the sexual stimulation, and where does it come from? A little bit of where does it all come from, and how important is it?
Okay. Well, first part is sexual desire. It's affected by four main things: your hormone level, your psychological mood, the quality of a relationship. And that's something we've never really addressed biblically with men. We've never really addressed the baby mama issues or, you know, married to a woman that isn't supportive or does not give you the affection that you're seeking. So the quality of a relationship is one of the biggest parts of sexual desire for men. The other one is the quality of previous sexual experiences. Now, granted, we were always told not to be intimate before you got married, but a lot of us didn't listen to that. So we went out and we explored the world. And when we did that, it gave us good and bad experiences. So when you find the wife to be, but her sexuality doesn't add up to what you figured was good, there's a division already. And sex can be a very stress-addicted issue between two individuals. Why I'm not performing to the way that you want, or I'm not doing, as we call it, tricks that you were used to back in your days when you were on the street. So those are four of the biggest issues that we find dealing with sexual desire with men. Now, dealing with sexual stimulation, we understand it's necessary for arousal, and that comes from touch, vision, hearing, smell, and even taste. And from the mind, we have our own sexual thoughts and fantasy. It's funny how I come across a lot of guys who, now that they're in their 40s, they have these fantasies of wanting to have menage a trois with multiple women and maybe even doing swinging clubs. But those are the fantasies and the visions in your mind you were supposed to have very early in life. And when you bring that into your adulthood, it makes you off kilter, meaning one woman won't satisfy you to the extent that you want, and then you're finding out that you're not monogamous in a relationship. You're running door to door to door to door. And that breaks down the union of what possibly could be marriage in a strong, healthy, beneficial relationship. One of the things we found out with age was as we get older, and relationships last longer, your sexual stimulus tend to be greater in number and you need more intensity. As we repeat the same sexual stimulation without variety, it results in most men having arousal issues down the road. So you've got to change the fire up, even in your marriage. It can't be the same way that you address your wife. It can't be the same position. It can't be the same location. You have to create something different to constantly keep fire going. Amen.
Amen, sir. Amen. And it's amen. You know, you're right. And that's one of the things we have to prepare, brothers. You know, again, you have to be prepared for the long haul when it comes to marriage relationships and sexual relationships, monogamy. And like you were saying, you know, when there's a reason why we have a lot of brothers, or even I just say a lot of people because I don't want to, you know, burden my brothers with a broad brush. But there's a reason why people have multiple sexual partners, because they're looking for something, or they're chasing after something, or they become bored. You know, if you look at even for my brothers with multiple women, they're with them for what, three to 6 months to maybe a year, and they're already back out looking for something new because they are bored with the monogamy, and because of the relationship, there's nothing else going on. And that's where we get to a dangerous place. And as we get older, like you said, that fantasy and that lust, and there's a whole lot of stuff going on because now with so much pornography and stuff, that even the stuff that's on TV that's not even categorized as pornography, that we accept as normal entertainment, is stimuli. So they put us in a place that what we should be like, what kind of lover we should be, what kind of performer we should be, and we don't live up to those things. And that's one of the hindrances when it comes to marriage. So, I mean, the things you're saying is true and right, and hopefully tonight we encourage someone to seek the recourse, you know, because you have to do something different. You have to be on purpose about it. It's just like our salvation. We come to faith in Christ, and now we're on purpose to be obedient to his command and be obedient to the wisdom of God and those around us. And here at Issues Christian Men's Talk, we just want to be watchmen on the wall. We want to sound the alarm. These are some of the things that could be causing the problem you're having. It's causing the problem that you're having. That's causing the problem that you're having. I just say that right there. Let that soak in a little bit. Amen. So let me just ask you this. So what else are the conditions that hinder erections psychologically? The things you talked about.
Well, we're finding out that part three, the notion that men can have sex anywhere is a myth. We need privacy, sufficient time. We need emotional intimacy. Now, granted, I'm not talking about your 20s, because in your 20s, you just had to look at a woman and you were erect. But as you've gotten older in time, there's certain things that hinder. A lot of guys are obligatory contact aiming at conception, meaning they're trying to make a baby. And that puts a lot of pressure on a man, especially when the fertility side hasn't really been checked. Is it the woman? Is it the man's sperm may not be strong enough? Is his numbers down? a lot of that is diet, and a lot of that tends to be obesity-related. The presence of children at home can sometimes make or hinder the erection. Intercourse is in places where privacy is not really secured can hinder erection as well. So those are the psychological things that we tend to go through, and it's just a few. It doesn't mean that's all of them, and you may have your own reasons why it just doesn't work when you want it to work. We tend to have a lot of weight on our shoulders to be intimate. You know, we always want that male bravado that, yeah, I hurt her, or I gave her the best sex she's ever had in her life. And in actuality, that just doesn't add up well for a lot of men. And a lot of men are on the other side of the coin where they're not strong or confident about their sexuality. And that's another part. Your mind plays more of the issue than your physical. If you're a confident brother, how you step outside and how you feel about yourself, normally that dictates your sexuality is going to be confident and able to meet the task. But if you're a little bit different and you don't feel confident in your step, your self-esteem is not strong, then a lot of times it's a Russian roulette. Will it perform or will it not? And we've got to show guys how to bring that confidence back, how to bring that mojo back, so that not that you're sexually active, but just that you feel whole about who you are. And that's what wellness is, mind, body, and soul becoming whole as one. Amen.
Amen, sir. I thank you for that, because that's the thing we don't think about. You know, if you feel inadequate in other parts of your life, it may show up in the bedroom. It's as simple as that. That's the best way I can say it as a layman. If you feel inadequacies, and there's a lot of things that affect that when we talk about our psyche and our confidence levels, you know, our career choices, our money, how much money we got in the bank, the things that we compare ourselves to others in all things, and if we don't feel that confidence and secure in who we are and who God has made us, it'll show. It shows in our persona, it shows in how we carry ourselves, and then it'll show in our sexual performance, our inadequacy. Feel inadequate, then it's hard to overcome that. Then that's where we come into, again, this is where the enemy uses and pushes us into places and doing things that we don't want to do. We're trying to satisfy something, and now we're using other ways to do it. And that's where, we're back to the promiscuity. And prostitution and pornography and all kinds of other stuff that, unless we are attentive to what's going on with us and who we are and be rooted and grounded, we open ourselves up to all these things that affect us emotionally and bring conflict into our emotions, and then it acts out in other ways. Amen? So one of the things, when we talk about anatomically, let me see, is anatomically physical problems with our penis, with blood flow, that are preventers from men reaching erections.
What are some of those? The biggest one that we find is with high blood pressure, and it's clogging up the vessels. So the blood cannot go through the shaft and then come back out the shaft once the orgasm or ejaculation has been reached. So, but anatomically, yes, you know, we constantly hear that African-American men are bigger size-wise, penis-wise, than most other races. But in actuality, we also have a few, for lack of better words, anatomically incorrect individuals in our society. Sometimes you have, I can give you the technical terms, but I'll just explain what it is. When you can't pull the skin back on the penis, then that doesn't allow you to have an erection. Sometimes there's a downward curvature that's so strong anatomically that the penis doesn't come up. And then there's some penile structure that are crooked and are aimed to the ceiling, and they can't get hard either. So there are a few individuals out there that are suffering from three different anatomical for lack of better words, kind of difficulties for them. They don't know how to achieve an erection. They don't know how to deal with. And I've been at that place before where you can't get it because something has happened to the body. And a lot of times we find out, beside the anatomical, certain medications will affect your sexuality and cause you to be more flaccid than erect. Then there's some other medications dealing with high blood pressure that unfortunately I was experiencing, and it gave us priapism. Now, priapism is what they tell you in Viagra. If you take it and you last longer than 4 hours, you need to go to the hospital. That's called priapism. Well, there's a 1% of this medical cocktail when they give you blood pressure medicine that creates priapism. I was at 1%. I had an erection for 32 hours. And although it may sound great, you're in so much pain, it's worse than birth. You cannot urine, you can't pass gas, and you cannot have a bowel move. And when the body has to let out and purge, it wants to let go. But because the blood actually became frozen and it blew my penis up like a football, you end up in so much pain, it was just an emergency situation. Now, the back end, they don't tell you. They have to put needles in your man to pull the blood out manually. And it looks like you have had a gunshot wound. That's how much blood does it take to make an erection. We never really understood that. But normally, on an average-sized man of 6 to 8 inches, it takes 32 ounces of blood to make an erection. Amen.
Amen, bro. Amen. Amen. And then these are the things that we definitely have to do, to consider. And we talk about health and issues and side effects. And that's I'm glad you mentioned that. That's one of the things when they talk about Viagra and Cialis. You know, in the commercials, they say it so fast, no one really gets it. That's one of the side effects. And like you said, it sounds great until it actually happens to you. Amen. You're listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Fowler. We're here with Pastor Brian Burley, and we're talking about 7 of the 14 secrets to a good erection. We're talking about some health issues. We're going to be touching on some other things that, again, these are all health issues. Remember, our erection, our sexual desire, there's a lot of things that go into that. Our emotions, our psyche, our physical, and these are the things that as men we have to look at. You know, and for my brothers out there who are listening, when's the last time you saw a doctor? When's the last time you went to a urologist? When did you get your last physical? Your blood pressure, your sugar, what are your levels? What are your numbers? That's one of the things we talked about on previous shows. We should know our numbers. We should know our blood pressure. We should know our pulse rate. We should know our sugar levels. We should know something. We should know about how our body is functioning, what's going on, and also know things that we should and should not be taking into our body. It's for all of us. Every brother out there listening, is our diet. What are we eating? How much time are we spending preparing our food? How much sugar? How much salt? How much processed food are we taking in? All these things accumulate in our bodies and can bring on health issues. And again, if you're struggling with sexual issues, erection issues, it could be what are you putting in your body and how you live it. You know, even for my brothers who may listen who may not be, say, alcohol and beer, drugs, all of these things, you know, smoking weed, you know, marijuana is a new thing going across the country. Everybody's legalizing, everybody's smoking, it seems like. But down the road, in years, what is that doing to our bodies? You know, what is it really going to do to in the long haul of our bodies? But I believe now with the legalization of marijuana, there's going to be more studies to really show. Because before, you really couldn't tell who was smoking and how much they were smoking. But now, trust me, in the next 10 to 20 years, there's going to be a whole lot of new medical things coming out about the heavy use of marijuana and how it affects our bodies. Amen?
Amen.
What do you say about that, bro? Real quick. I know that wasn't one of my things, but what do you say, sir?
But it goes back to smoking. Anything, mm-hmm. any substance that you put inside your lung capacity that the body feels as a foreign does something over time to your lung capacity. It tightens and it constricts your blood vessel. And any time it does that in the body, what you'll end up with is the lack of blood circulation going to your main. Now, back in the days when I was on the street, I smoked a lot of weed. It gave me an erection. But the long-term use of it does the opposite. So I try to tell people it's not what it's cracked up to be. On top of that, you lose brain cells, and it's just some other things that happen to the body that you don't see in your 20s and your 30s. But you will feel them in your 40s and your 50s.
Amen. Amen, amen. That's as simple as it, bro. As a brother, we made it this long. We didn't realize that stuff went on in the 70s and 80s. It comes back to haunt you in the 2010s. Amen?
Amen.
Well, bro, real quick, share your contact information with the audience. I can reach out to you. And
sure.
I do believe you do have your Friday night call-in prayer line. We'll share that with the audience.
We have a prayer line on Friday morning, tomorrow morning at 7:30. I tie scripture into a health concept. You can jump on. The number is 515-739-1030, and the PIN number is 278-758-757-pound. And at least it will allow you to ask more health questions. It's a lot of women on the line, but that's just who's interested in health and wellness now. But I urge my brothers to get on, listen. You're going to learn something you didn't know. And that's the whole part about this body. We don't really have people in the community or even doctors that give you insight to how this body will change from 30 to 50, from 50 to 70. Somebody had to fill in the gap, and that's what God gave me my purpose at. So I'm trying to explain to my brothers how to take better care of this body and how to keep your strength. You can reach me on Facebook, TB7 Wellness Coach. And you can leave me information, messages, and you can go back through 3 years of information on health and wellness that will change your life. If you find out that you're overweight, you're dealing with illnesses or ailments, and you just need somebody to give you some support and help you start this regimen, give me a call. It's not exercise first. We use exercise on the back end. Right now it's changing the mindset and getting you to eat better and healthier. So I don't have a problem doing that. If you have a church and you're interested in me coming to speak, give me a call at or email tb7wellnessoutreachministry@gmail.com. That's all my contact information. Amen.
Amen, bro. Amen. I thank you for that, and I appreciate you taking time and we doing this. And again, brothers, ladies, gentlemen listening, you know, it's about our health. It's about checking and understanding what's going on with our bodies. And don't wait till you're in your 50s, because a lot of these things, if you change to 20s and your 30s, your 70s and your 80s will be much better. I just wanted to share that with you. Some of the things we talked about tonight, you can do your own research. We have the internet. We have your Google machines. You can go to a urologist. I can't think of the website right now, but for urologists and health issues, Journal for Sexual Medicine, Men's Health. There's all kinds of things you can search. As a matter of fact, you can put in there, what's ED stand for, brother? I'm sorry. There's one blank one.
Erectile dysfunction.
There you go. Search that in there. And erectile dysfunction. Thank you, sir. And that's what we can look that up and see what some of the preventions are, some of the reasons it's happening, and see if some of those reasons that you might have this problem, how many of those things on the list is going on in your life, the choices that you're making. Again, this is about choices. It's about obedience. It's about taking care of our body. And it's a biblical thing. And as for the psychological and those things that burden us down psychologically, I encourage you, seek God. Seek God in prayer. Seek salvation. Seek understanding of who God created you for and your purpose, and pray about it. Don't carry the burden and the weight of day-to-day life. God is in control. Lean on your faith and lean on Christ. And we thank you for joining us tonight. We're going to come back. Brother, we're going to coordinate the next week. We're going to come back. If next Thursday is good, we're going to get in touch and we can continue on. We touched on six of them, so we have about eight more to go. And also, we're going to talk about some of the food to help your prostate. There's some food out there that we should have in our diet that's going to help our prostate. And if you don't know what your prostate is, we're going to identify that for you next time also, because that also has to affect men's health. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You've been listening to Issues Christian Men Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. God bless you. Thank you for joining us.